Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Or redemption of Jerusalem, sorry. Get mine. So, as I said, we're hearing today about two people who had been waiting a long time, Simeon and Anna. Now, this event happened about, according to the laws in Leviticus, was happening about 40 days after the birth of Jesus. So this, in many ways, is quite similar to a dedication service that we might hold if a new baby was born into our congregation, where the parents bring their new child and say, "Here is our gift from God. We want to give thanks to God for this child." Now, in the Old Testament rites, and this was a more formal thing, and they would make a sacrifice. And it refers here to a little passage from Leviticus, which talks about it, when you bring a child for essentially dedication, you bring two things. You bring two sacrifices. One was asked to be a lamb, and the other a small bird. But it also just says just afterwards, "But if you're not rich enough to afford a lamb, you can bring two birds." And essentially, one was so there were two separate sacrifices. And we read here that Mary and Joseph essentially bought the two birds. It says a pair of doves or two young pigeons. We don't know which ones they bought. It doesn't, not recorded here, and it's not particularly important. But what it tells us is that Mary and Joseph were very much devout and faithful followers of the Jewish laws, but that they weren't especially well off. They didn't have the money to afford a lamb. But they brought their baby to the temple, and afterwards we believe they then went back to Bethlehem, and then eventually they met the wise men, and then they fled to Egypt, and then they ended up back in Nazareth. So, long story, but the important point here is that they brought the child Jesus up to the temple, and they met these two characters, Simeon and Anna, both of whom probably are reasonably old. We certainly know that Anna is described here as being 84. So she had probably been widowed for the best part of 60 years. So she was married, probably married in her teens, as would have been the convention, was married for 7 years, so that takes her probably into her early 20s. And at this point, she's 84, having been widowed and probably relying on charity within the temple to keep her fed and watered, essentially, because if you were widowed, you didn't really have any way of generating income. So she's been waiting around in the temple, and according to the word here, has some kind of prophetic gift. We don't know very much about it. She's not mentioned anywhere else, but this is Anna. We also meet Simeon. So Simeon is also being righteous and devout, and he has been promised by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah, Jesus, essentially, before he died. Now, this probably isn't a promise that was made to very many people, but he had to wait a long time, it would appear, for this promise to be fulfilled. You can sense a certain passing of time, I think, almost in verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. It's almost like he's been lacking in peace because he knew he'd been waiting for this and he'd had the patience to wait. And from these two, patient, faithful followers, they're described as both being very patient but particularly faithful and devout. Simeon described as righteous, devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This is essentially the salvation of God's people. They were under the oppression of the Roman Empire and therefore felt not they felt the Jews at the time felt they were restricted and not free to worship God properly. And they longed for a Messiah to lead them out of this oppression. So Simeon is longing for this. What the Jews at the time probably didn't realize, that actually the real oppression was sin, not the Romans. And so the Messiah they were expecting wasn't quite the one they got. So what does Simeon gives us an insight into Jesus. And remember, this is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Right at the beginning of the story of Jesus, before his ministry. So Simeon says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation. So Jesus, the salvation of the world, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. It's an interesting statement, actually, because he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, but the first thing he says is actually a light for revelation to the Gentiles being the non-Jews, the whole of the world. Jesus wasn't just for the Jewish nation, he was for all, which is fortunate, really, because I don't know about all of you, but not many of us in here are Jewish. So it's a good thing that Jesus did come for the whole world, for all of us. And this would probably have been a fairly radical statement. We don't hear it in the light it was, but it's a light for revelation to the Gentiles. In fact, there's the early church after Jesus' death had some debates about whether Jesus was really for Jews or Jews and Gentiles. Unfortunately, they all concluded in the end that Jesus came for us all. But it's stated right here, right at the beginning of the story. And for the glory of your people, Israel. So it was for the nation of Israel as well. So Mary and Joseph hear this, what must have been a very, well, if you read the story of Mary and Joseph, they hear some weird stuff, don't they? Angels keep turning up and telling them things, and people meet them in the temple and tell them things. It must have been a bit head spinning, really. I don't how many other people have got experience with parents. I don't think we've had many prophecies about our children spoken out, but definitely not as many as Mary and Joseph received. So this must have been a bit head spinning and a bit strange that you've got this tiny little baby, 40 days old. You know, babies are pretty small at that stage. Yet they get told that this baby is going to be the salvation of the world, essentially. It's a bit of an odd thing to hear, really. And it says, the child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Gets weirder and weirder, doesn't it, really? Some of this makes sense to us now, looking back, but Jesus was not welcomed by everybody. We know that. In the end, he was led away to his death, and although that was all part of God's plan, it does demonstrate that there were people who were opposed to his ministry, opposed to his message, and that is prophesied here from the very beginning. But I think the important thing is Jesus would cause the falling and rising of many. What this means is that those who believed and followed his message will be saved. But for those who don't, he will reveal their opposition to God. It's a tough message. Jesus will reveal in the end the position of our hearts. That's what it says here. And I pray that all of our hearts will be revealed to be in faith and faithful to him. So then we come to Anna. We don't know, so we've got this tiny, tiny little pen portrait of Anna. So but 50 words or so. We don't know much about, I don't think we know much about Penuel, her father, either. We know the tribe of Asher, that's one of the 12 tribes of Israel. But she was very old, she was 84, it would appear. We don't know whether she carried on and lived to an even older, but 84 is reasonably old in today with modern medical science and extended lives that we live now. But it would have been, I think it would have been very much, and she would have been one of the older people around, and particularly having lived so long as a widow, with, as I said earlier, probably not much by way of resources. But she was, God had placed her here for this moment. She was faithful. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. And she, because she was in tune with God, because she fasted and prayed, she had insight, and she came up to the Mary and Joseph and the child Jesus, and she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem, i.e. salvation. I think Anna is a great role model for us in receiving Jesus this Christmas. What did she do? Two very simple things. She gave thanks to God. She worshipped and praised and thanked God for his gift that she had awaited in the temple more than 60 years. And what was the second thing she did? She spoke to everyone about the child, about Jesus. I think that's a great model for us this new year, for 2023. Can we give thanks to God for what he has given us and speak to all about Jesus and the salvation that he brings? We have Simeon, who explains what Jesus will do and from our perspective now has done. The great insight that Simeon brings to the the salvation for the whole world that Jesus brings. But then our reaction, can we be like Anna? Can we give thanks and speak to all of Jesus?